Today's the daf is daf tesvav, so we got to the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Beis, the last three lines, Umikasa and Moshe. Mm-hmm. So the Gemara talks about Umikasa, who wrote all the different svarim of Tanakh, the 24 books of Tanakh. So the Gemara explains Moshe Kasav Svar Sifro, he wrote his own Sefer Torah, the Torah. Uparshas Bilam, he wrote as well. Interesting that viewing Parshas Bilam as a separate part of the Torah, but nonetheless it's being viewed separately. There's a Rashi somewhere here, Parshas Bilam, it's around eight narrow lines up. He says, Parshas Bilam, Nivuaso Umashalav, V'afa Pi She'enen Tzorche Moshe, V'Toraso, V'Seder Ma'isav. Even though it has nothing to do with the rest of the Torah, still Moshe wrote it as well. To us it sounds strange, it's being viewed as independent from the rest of the Torah, but Enechanami, the Gemara, counts it separately. Then the Gemara says, V'Iov, he wrote as well, the Sefer Iov. Yeshua, what did Yeshua write? Yeshua Kasav Sifro Wishmona Psukim Shabbatara. He wrote his Sefer Yeshua and the eight Psukim, the last eight Psukim of the Torah, as we know, the Gemara is going to discuss. Shmuel Kasav Svaro, he wrote his Sefer Shmuel Vishoftim Virus. David wrote Kasav Sefer Tilim, Ideasar Zakanim. He wrote Sefer Tilim along with 10 other Zakanim, and they are as follows: Ayde Adam Harishon, Ayde Malki Tzedek, Ayde Avram, Ayde Moshe, Ayde Haman, Ayde Dusan, Ayde Asaf. So these are 10 Zakenim that wrote Tilm together with the David HaMelech at different points of time. Then Yirmiah, Kasav Svar, he wrote his own Sefer Yirmiah, V'Sefer Melachim, V'Kinos, which is Eicha, and Chizkiah V'Siyato, Chizkiah and his whole Rashi explains, Siyato is B'nei Doro, She'arichu Yamim Achrav, those who lived in a generation and lived after him, they wrote the following, the simon is Yamshak, Yeshaya, Mishlei, Shihashirim, Vikohas. They wrote those four. Now, the reason why Yeshaya didn't write his own Sefer, everyone else wrote their own Sefer. Yirmiah wrote his Sefer, and Yeshua wrote his Sefer. So Rashi explains in the top line of Tezvav, Kasru Yeshaya, Shehargu, Minasha. Minasha killed Yeshaya, Velo Kasav Sfaro. He wasn't able to write his own Sefer. Shelohayu Nevi'im, Kosin, Sifrem, Elolifnei, Mosin. They will only write them before they died. Obviously, they wouldn't write them after they died, but they're all written before they died. Now, he was killed, so he didn't have a chance to write his Sefer Yeshaya. So then the Gemara says further, Anshe Knesset HaGadola Kasu Kandak is the Simon. They wrote four Svarim, Yecheskel, Shneimasar, Daniel, Umagilas, Esther. And then Ezra Kasav Sifara, he wrote Ezra, V'yachas Eshel Divrayim Ad Lo, and he wrote Sefer Dvarim, Divrei Yehayamim rather, which is basically a yichas of all the various families of the Klai Yisrael up until it got to his time, which point he couldn't write anything after that. And Mesailei, that supports L'Rav, Damar Rav Yehuda Damar Rav, Lo Alo Ezra Mi Bavel Ad Shiyachas Atzmo, that Ezra didn't leave Bavel until he's Miyachis, his whole family tree, so that he wrote down in Divrei Yamim, Uman Aske, who completed Divrei Yamim? Nechemiah ben Chachliah. So Nechemiah and Ezra together wrote Divrei Hayam. So that's those individuals who wrote the 24 books of Tanakh. So the Gemara says, Amar Ma'ar Yeshua Kasav Svaro V'Shmona Psukim Shiva Torah. So Yeshua wrote Sefer Yeshua along with the 8 Psukim, last Psukim of the Torah. Tanakh Keman, who does the Brisa hold like? The Amar Shmona Psukim Shiva Torah Yeshua Kasvan. The Tanya, the following Brisa, Vayamas Shamoshe Eved Hashem. So, and the Pasuk says at the end of Sosa Bracha that Moshe died. The Efshir Moshe Mace Vikasav, Vayamas Shamoshe. Moshe died, then he wrote his death. You can't write your own death. Se'ela Adkan Kasav Moshe, Mikan Ve'elach Kasav Yeshua Divre Rebbe Yehuda. Divre Rebbe Yeshua, different yourselves who this was. On the side here, who does the quote? Is that this? Divre Rebbe Yehuda, it says. So Rebbe Yehuda authored this that said that Moshe only wrote up until the last eight psukim, but the final eight psukim were written by Yeshua. Amila, others say Rebbe Nehemiah. Fine. Comes along, Amila, Rebbe Shimon, Efshir Sefer Torah Chaser Osachas. Is it possible that the Sefer Torah is missing one letter from Moshe Rabbeinu, but doesn't the Pasuk say, Ksiv, Lakacha Sefer Torah Hazeh? That Moshe Rabbeinu took a Sefer Torah that was complete, wasn't missing any letters, not missing any psukim. So Moshe Rabbeinu did write the whole Sefer Torah. Ela Adkan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, Umoshe Omer Vekosev. So up until the last eight psukim, Hashem would say, Moshe would repeat it, and then Moshe would write it down. But Mikan Ve'elech, after those last eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, he would say, and Moshe Kosev Bidema, he'd write them in his tears. He wouldn't write the actual words, he'd write them in his tears as the ink. Kimoshe Nemar, as it says, Lahalan, as it says later on, Vayomer Lehem Baruch Mipiv Yikar Eli, it's called Ma'ela, Vani Koser, Kosev Es HaSefer Bidio. So he wrote it in ink, so he wrote everything, but he used his tears as the ink. Fine. Now there's a famous gra here, I'm not going to get involved right now because it's a long daf, but bedema, according to the gra, doesn't mean tears because that would be spelled with a hey at the end, but that means in a mixture. He didn't separate all the words. He wrote all eight psukim as one word, no spaces. He has this chiddush that the Moshe Rabbeinu was given the entire Torah from the beginning, but he had to go after each episode unfolded. He went back to decode each of the stories. He wasn't sure what was going to happen. So last day Pesukim, he didn't know what's going to happen either, but he wrote it down as one long word, all the Pesukim together, and then Yeshua came afterwards to decode where the words go based on what had happened. That's how he reads B'dem. It's a fascinating grub. So anyways, that's what he understands this Gemara to mean. Okay, the Gemara now says, Kiman Ozla, who is the, how does the following, Haldam Rabbi Shua Bar Abba, who does he hold like? Amr of Gidal Marav. Shimona Psukim, Shibatara Yachid Koryasam. A Yachid reads the last eight Psukim. What does Yachid mean? There's a Machlokas Rashi Tosos. Rashi says, Yachid Koryasam, Kilomer Ein Mafsikin Behem. You cannot separate the last eight Psukim into two Aliyahs. One person reads it. That's Rashi Shita. And Tosus quotes an opinion here that means that no, you read it by yourselves and the Shliach Tzibur doesn't read along with you. He gets in the discussion whether the person getting the Aliyah and the Baal Kari, who should be reading. But either way, it's either you can't split up into Aliyahs or one person reads it, not two individuals. So that's what he holds. So who does he hold like? It must be Lema Ki Rabbi Yehuda. Like I'm reading in parentheses, maybe he holds like Rabbi Yehuda that holds that the last day Pesukim are different, that Moshe didn't write it. Rather, Yoshua wrote it. So therefore, there's a difference in terms of how the Aliyah works. The Gemara's end with Ulok Rabbi Shimon, not like Rabbi Shimon, who holds that, no, Moshe, even Moshe wrote the last day of Pesukim, and it shouldn't be any different than the rest of the Sefer Torah. And the Gemara says, no. Afilu Tema Rabbi Shimon, even Rabbi Shimon could author that Raisa, hold the Ishtanu, since it changed. I mean, even Rabbi Shimon holds that Moshe wrote it, but he wrote it in a different way, whether he wrote it as one long word like the Gra, or wrote it with his tears. There's still something different about those last eight Pesukim, whereby he would agree maybe that there's a difference that a Yachid could be Kore the Pesukim. Okay. Marnath quotes the two dots, Yoshua, Kasav Svaro, Yoshua wrote his own Sefer Yoshua. How could that be? Doesn't the Pasuk say at the end of Sefer Yeshua, Vayamas Yeshua ben Nun, Eved Hashem? It says Yeshua died. So could he write his own death? So no, to ask Elazar, Elazar had completed Sefer Yeshua. How could Elazar have completed? Vahaksiv Elazar ben Aaron mate. It also says that Elazar died. To ask Pinchas. Pinchas, who we know lived for a long time, if not forever, because he's Eliyahu Anavi, according to many. So he lives forever. So Pinchas is the one who completed Sefer Yeshua. Shmuel Kasu Svaro, Yeshmuel wrote his Sefer Shmuel. But doesn't Sefer Shmuel say, Shmuel Mace, how do you write your own death? Again, to ask God HaChozev Nasa Navi. That God HaChozev Nasa Navi, they are the ones who completed Sefer Shmuel. David Kasu Sefer Til Maidei Asar Zekanim. He wrote it along with 10 other Zekanim. V'lichshav Nami Eisen HaZrachi. Isn't one of the Tilim written by Eisen HaZrachi? Why wasn't he on the list? It should be 11 Zekanim. Amar Rav Eisen HaEzrachi Zehu Avram Eisen, the strong one from the east. That's a reference to Avram. Ksiv Hacha Eisen HaEzrachi. It's written in Tilim Eisen HaEzrachi. Ksiv Hasam. It's written elsewhere in context of Avram. Mehiir Mi Mizrach Tzedek. Who is the one who came from the east? That's Avram who came from the east. So he's Eisen HaEzrachi. So then the Gemara says, fine. But Kachashiv Moshe v'Kachashiv Haman. We counted Moshe what wrote some of the Tilim, and Haman wrote some of the Tilim. V'hama Rav tells us that Haman is Zeh Moshe, the one of the same. Because it says, Ksiv Hacha Haman, that's the one who authored one of the Tilim, the Kapitel Tilim. Uksiv Hasman is written there, B'chol Beisi Neman, that he's the most believed person. Moshe is the Haman. So it's one of the same persons. How can we count them as separate individuals? To which the Gemara answers, Trey Haman Havu. There are two Hamans. One Haman was Moshe Benu, but there's another individual whose name was Haman, who was not Moshe Rabbeinu. Then the Gemara says, Moshe Kasav Svar, he wrote his own Sefer, that's Torah, Uparshas Bilam. Viyov, these are the three Svarim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote. So, Messiah Leili Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Damar Rabbi Levi Bar Lachma, Iov Bimei Moshe Haya, that Iov lived in the times of Moshe, that supports this, that's why Moshe wrote it, because he lived, the story of Iov happened during Moshe's time period. How do we know this? Ksiv Hacha, one pasuk says, Mi Yitain Efo V'Kasvun Milai. So this is a pasuk that appears in Iov, and then it says, by Moshe Benu, it says, Uksiv Hasam Uvma Yivada Efo. So we see the word Efo is used in both places. Must be that through the Gzeh Shava, Moshe Benu, Iov lived during Moshe Benu's time. The Eimel Gemara says, what do you mean? Bimei Yitzchak, also the word, Dichsiv Mi Efo Hu Hatzad Tzayit. It says Efo by Yitzchak. So maybe he lived during Yitzchak's time. Ve'ema b'mei Yaakov, it also says, imkein efo zosasu. It also says efo by Yaakov. So just because it's efo doesn't mean he's dafkin Moshe Rabbeinu's time. And further, ema b'mei Yosef, it says, dechsev efo heim roim. So Gemara says, lo sakadaitach, you wouldn't think that Eov lived during Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef's time period. Why? Dichsiv mi tein b'sefer v'yuchko. The pasuk that appears in this also in Eov, it says that mitain efo v'yikasun milai mitain b'sefer v'yuchoku. That's a pasuk in Eov. What's yuchoku? Moshe the ikre mechokek. That Moshe is called mechokek. So we see that Moshe is called Chokek, and therefore he is the one who authored Sefer Eov. It happened during his time period. Gemara now says, the rest of the discussion is pretty much about Eov now. So Rav Amarava says, Eov bimei miraglim haya. No, he lived during the times of the spies, which is also, of course, during the time period of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not really a stira, but it's very specifically during the times of the miraglim. How do we know this? Siv Hach, it's written here, this is a pasuk that appears also in Sefer Eov. It says, Ish haya b'eretz Utz, okay, place of Utz, Eov Shemo. So this is a pasuk in Eov. He lived in an area called Utz. Uksiv Hasim, it's written in the context of the miraglim, Hayesh ba'etz. Moshe said, go see if there's any eitz. Eitz and Utz, of course, are very similar words. So through that gzeira shava, Gemara says, what do you mean? Mi dami hacha Utz, hacha eitz. Two different words. Gemara says, hachi kamar la Moshe Yisrael. Moshe says to Yisrael, Yeshnu la'osu adam, sheshnosav aruchos ke'etz, umagin alav doro ke'etz. Is there that person whose years were as long as a tree? Trees live for so many years, as we know, and protects the generation like ke'etz. That was a reference to Eov, who lived for so long. That's Lashon Utz and Eitz. So that idea of such a strong person like an Eitz. So that's how he knows he lived during the time period of Miraglim. So Yosef Ahum Mirabanan Kamed Rabbi Shmuel. There's one Talmud Chacham sitting in front of Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. The Yosef of Kamar, and he said that Eov Lohaya Velo Nivra Elam Mashalya. Eov never ever happened. He was a mashal. He was a story, a lesson for us to learn. What was the lesson to be learned? Look what Rashi tells us, six lines up from the bottom. Mashal Haya Lil Mom Nimeno. We shall learn from the mice of Eov. Chuvos Lemekatrikin Amidas Hadin. Those who are the ones who are attacking when Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a din va'onesh. So those who complain. V'shein Adam Nitbas Al Tzaro. To realize that Eov, he lived a whole, even though it never happened, we should learn lessons from Eov how to and how not to respond to one's pains. So he says again, this individual said to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmi that Eov Lahaya Velo Nivra Ela Mashal Haya. So Amar La, they say Alecha, Amar Kra, on him it says a pasuk, Ish Haya Ba'art Utz Eov Shimo. So what do you mean? The pasuk said there's a man whose name was Eov, he lived in a certain location. When you tell a mashal, you don't give all the details of the guy's name. You say there's once a king and a son. You don't give the guy a name, you don't call him Reuven. So the fact that you give him a name and if you give him a location tells us that it really happened. Where is that really true? We could create mashalim that have names that are not really true. El Miata, the pasuk quotes here, the Gemara says, the pasuk gets found in Shmuel Beis, which is also a mashal only, Ularash ein kol kim kafsa achas ktana asher kana v'yichye. And the pasuk goes on to say, one second, I'm reading the pasuk inside here, V'tigdal imo v'imbanov yachtav mipito tochel mikoso. We're going through all these details of the pasuk. They had a daughter. Unnecessary information about a mashal. So we see, even though it's a mashal, we still give unnecessary information. So just because we gave a name and a place to Eov doesn't mean it actually happened. We're just trying to make it feel more alive, and that's not a raya that it never happened. That it did happen, I mean. So Ela mashal ba'ama hacha, ba'ama. That case in the Gemara Pasuk and Shmuel was only a mashal, even though we gave a lot of details. Hachanami, here as well, in the story of Eov, mashal ba'ama. So then Gemara says, if it's really a mashal, so then came Shmo v'Shem Ir Lama. So then why do we give a name and a place? The Gemara goes back and forth. The Gemara ends off in a kasha. There's no real answer here. You could give some details to make it alive, but to give a name and give a place, that's too real and must be that it really did happen if we're giving a name and place to the story of Eov.
I think the first question the Gemara is, by the way, it says Ish Haya. Haya says, means it happened, and in that mashal the Gemara brings from the Shmuel, it says Vatihi is also a lashon of a Haya. In other words, Batihi and Mahaya, as the Gemara thought, were
uh-huh.
Is it happened.
So look at Rashi. Very good. Look at Rashi says in the bottom. Rashi says, Ish Haya al Mahava. The fact that this Ish Haya was, sounds like it actually happened. And they get El Miata, the Gemara quotes Vesefa, Dekra, Batihi, little Bas. And there was a Bas. So we see the word Haya indicates that it actually was a Maisa Shehaya. So then the Gemara says, okay, if it's really a Maisa Shehaya, so if it really was simply a Mashal, so then why are we giving a name and place to the story of Eov? Must be it's more than just a mashal. It probably actually happened.
I think this is when Nasan HaNavi gives Tochachat to David after he killed Bathsheba.
That's the context?
I think so.
Okay, it's the end of Shmuel Bey, so it makes sense. Okay, Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Damri Tarvayu, both of them say Iov Meola Golahaya. He had returned back from Golus. Who based Midrashah b'Tiveria? He actually had a base Midrash in Tiveria. Oh yeah. So Meisiv, the Gemara asks the question: Yimei Shnosav Sheiov Misha Shenichnasu Yisrael Mitzrayim VeYetshiatzu. So no, Iov lived from when they left Mitzrayim, they entered into Mitzrayim until they left Mitzrayim. So he wasn't in the time period of the Ole Gola, that was generations later. He was in the times of Mitzrayim. Mara says, no, Ema Ki Misha Shenichnasu Yisrael Mitzrayim Vad Shiatzu. No, not that he actually lived during the Mitzrayim. He lived as long as the period it took from Knesset Eretz Mitzrayim to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That time period was how long Iov lived, but he lived several generations later. As Rashi says, Masayim Ve'eser, 210 years that they actually spent physically in Mitzrayim, that's how long Iov lived. But he didn't live in Mitzrayim, he lived as part of Ole Gola. So the Gemara asks a question two lines down on Amud Beis, Meisive. Shiva Nevim Nisnabu Lumas Olam. There are seven prophets who prophesied among the Goyim, Veiluhem, and they are the seven as follows: Bilam, V'aviv, his father, Iov, Eliphaz, Temani, Ubeldat Hashuchi, V'tzofar, Namasi, V'elihu, Ben Berachel, Habuzi. So these are the seven. So we see clearly that he was a Goy. He wasn't learning in a base medrash of Tiveria. Goyim don't learn, they're not allowed to learn, so he must be, he was a Nachri. So the Gemara says, L'tamech, according to your reasoning, Elihu, Ben Berachel, Lam Yisrael, Hava, he wasn't a Yidir. V'ha'aksiv mi'vishpachas Ram, who is part of the, who was apparently a Jew. Rashi explains here, Elihu al-karchach midiach seikra b'shmo v'shem avav, the fact that we give him a name and a father's name, no one else has a name like that. We call him a Ben, must be shem mishpacha Yisrael Hava, he must be from the family of Jews. So, and others say, Isdami mishpachas Ram haya Avram, he came from Avram, that's what Ram, that's a family name Ram, what that means. So we see that we are listing Jews here. So just because Bilam's on this list, rather Eov's on this list, doesn't mean he was a Nachri. So what's Pshat in the Gemara? Doesn't the Brisa say, Nisnavu le'umos ha'olam? They're non-Jews who were prophets. Ela invu inve le'umos ha'olam. That they had, he had prophesied for them. Not that he was one of them, he prophesied about them. Hachanami Eov invu an inve le'umos ha'olam. He prophesied about them, Eov, but he wasn't necessarily one of them. He still could have been a Yid. So the Gemara says, Atu kula nevi milo invu le'umos ha'olam? What do you mean? All the other prophets, Yeshaya, Yirmiyah, Cheskel, they all had prophesied about the Umas Olam. So if it's really about prophesizing about the non-Jews, why is there only a list of seven? All Nevi'im prophesied about Umas Olam. Why are they limiting the list here? So Gemara explains, Hasam Iker Nevi'aisu Yisrael. By Yirmiyah and Yeshaya and all the Nevi'im that we know, most of their prophecies were about Yisrael. Yes, some of them were about Umas Olam. But their main prophecies were about Yisrael, so they're not on this list. But hacha, this short list of seven Nevi'im, Iker Nevi'osayu l'Umas Olam. Their Iker, their most important prophecies were about Umas Olam. That's what this list of seven means. But nothing to do with their lineage, whether they're Jewish or not Jewish. There's some who are Jewish, such as Iov and Elihu, and those who are not Jewish, such as Bilam and his father. Fine. Gemara asks now, Meisivei, Chasid haya b'Umas Olam v'Iov Shimo, v'loba li'olam ela kadei l'kabel scharo. So Eov came into this world simply for one reason, to receive schar. Hevi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisurim, he started to give him all these different sorrows. Hischel Mechari from Megadiv, he started to curse Hashem. Kafalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Schar Baal Mahazah. Therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him schar in this world, Kidei Litardo Min HaOlam Haba, in order that he should have no schar left over for him in the world to come. So we see he's a chasid b'umas ha'olam. So we call him a non-Jew here. So is he a Jew or is he not? Did he have a base medrash in Tiveria? Or where he's a chassid among the Umas Ha'olam? That's the Gemara says, you're right, it's a Tanai. There's a machlokas Tanayim, who exactly Eov was. And the Gemara is going to explain now, a very long brisa, when Eov lived and who Eov was. So what's the Tanai? The Sanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer, the Pasuk said, first he quotes, Eov bimei shafet ha-shoftim haya. He was during the times of the shoftim, Shinemar, it says, hey natem kulchem chazisem, that you all saw, this is where he's talking about, Eov's referring to all his friends, those who don't know to serve Eov, his friends came to visit him after all the various sorrows. So he says to them, you see, kulchem chazisem, you see. So what do they see? So, lama zeha vel tavalu, they saw all the terrible destruction. Ezu dor shekula hevel, which is the generation that was so much terrible things happening. Havi omer zedor shel shafet ha-shoftim. That was the period of the shoftim where there's so much sheker going on. The judges you couldn't trust anymore. So it happened during the period of the shoftim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer Iov b'mei Achashverosh haya. No, he lived during the times of Mordechai and Esther and Achashverosh. How do we know? Shinamar, the pasuk says, "V'lo nimsa nashim yafos ki banos Iov b'chol haaretz." They weren't as the children as beautiful as the daughters of Iov. So b'chol haaretz. So ezu dor shenisbakshu bo nashim yafos. Where is the generation? When was the generation they're looking for beautiful women? Haviyomer zed dor shachashverosh, who's looking for a new wife for himself. So Gemara said, what do you mean? It was only during Achashverosh's time where they're looking for beautiful women. Vema b'mei David as well. D'chse v'ayvakshu nara yafa. They're looking for a beautiful woman. If during the David's time period, Gemara says, no. Hasam b'chal gvul Yisrael. During David, they're only looking within the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Hacha b'chal ha'aretz. During the times of Achashverosh. And Iov, as the pasuk says, b'chol ha'aretz, the pasuk says, that only happened during Achashverosh, where he looked for the most beautiful woman in the entire world, b'chol ha'aretz. So that's why we know Iov happened during the b'mei Achashverosh. Then Rabbi Nassan Omer, Iov b'mei Malchus Shiva haya, who was a king during the time period of Shlomo HaMelech. Shenemar, as it says, v'atipol Shiva v'atikachim. That's Shiva, it says the pasuk in Iov, so it happened during Malchus Shiva, during Shlomo HaMelech's time period. The Chacham Omrim Iov b'mei Kasdim haya. He lived during the times of Kasdim. Shenemar, the pasuk says in Iov, Kasdim Shema Shlosha Roshim. Fine. Now Yesh Omrim, there are those who say Iov b'mei Yaakov haya. B'dina bas Yaakov Nasa, and he actually married Dina. How do we know? K'siv Hach, it's written in Iov k'davar achas in Nevalos Tidabri. K'siv Hasim, it's written by Yaakov k'nevala asa b'Yisrael. So that Gezer Shava tells us that he lived during the period of Yaakov and he even married Dina bas Yaakov. Okay, so the Gemara now says, after presenting these five, six different shitas, that was when they said they do such a terrible thing.
But in Iov.
What that's referring to?
No,
just a word that's being used. So the Gemara says, after presenting this brisa, it says as follows, V'chulo tanai svirhu the Iov miYisrael hava. All of them hold that Iov came from Bnei Yisrael, except Labar miYesh Omim, except for the Yesh Omim. Why? Because the Isakadaitach miUmos HaOlam Hava. Had you thought he came from Umos HaOlam, Basa Deshacha Moshe Mishar Yeshchina Al Ov DeKochavim. After Moshe died, was Shechina ever shown in a goy? Was ever nevuah for goy after Moshe Rabbeinu's time period? It can't be. V'Hamar Bar Mar doesn't Mar Bikesh Moshe Shelo Tishra Shechina Al Ov DeKochavim. He requested that the Shechina, that nevuah, no longer rests upon Ov DeKochavim. After Bilam, v'nasan lo, and he was granted his request. Shenemar v'niflenu ani v'amcha, to separate between us and them. So only to all those who said that Iov took place after the period of Moshe Benu, it could only be a Jew. But the Yesh Omrim holds that happened before, during the times of Yaakov. There's a possibility, at least, that Iov was a non-Jew. So this is machlokas tanaim, whether or not Iov was a goy or a Jew. Okay. Gemara now says further, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Dorosh el Iov, the time period of Iov, shot of Bezimahaya, they're so engrossed in incest, and Avodah Zarah, and Arayos. Shenemar, as it says, Hein atem kuchem chazisim, you all see, he was telling all the visitors, Iov said, you all see, V'lamazeh hevel ta'avalo, what all these disgusting things that have happened here. Uksiv, and it's written further, Shuvi, shuvi, hashulamah, shuvi, shuvi, v'nechsa, bach. So this is a pasuk that appears. This is where it's a pasuk here, Shashirim. So it says, you should see, and next is referring to doing some tshuva. So what's a tshuva you're seeing? Next is referring to seeing, looking at Arayos, looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. So that was the shot of bezima, that chazal, that you saw, chazisim, the kuchem chazisim, you all saw all the Arayos that you shouldn't be looking at. That took place during the times of Iov. Mar says, what do you mean? How do you know chazisim doesn't always mean looking at Arayos? Maybe Ema b'nevuah. Maybe looking at nevuah, they saw some vision. Like Chazon Yishayahu, it says that he saw a vision. Doesn't always mean something negative. Dichsim Chazon Yishayahu ben Amos. Gemara says, "Imkain, if that's the case, lama zeh havel ta'avalu lamali." The pasuk goes on to say there are some disgusting things and destruction that took place. That's telling us that the word chazisim should be understood as something negative, being shot of bezima, looking at Arayos. Gemara then says, "Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my dichsim. What does the pasuk mean?" When it says, Vayihi b'mei shafet ha-shoftim, during the time periods of the shoftim, this pasuk appears also in, this is a pasuk in Rus, it says, Vayihi b'mei shafet ha-shoftim. So what does the pasuk mean? So, dor she-shofet ha-shoftav, a generation where they would judge the judges, the people, the hamonam would judge the judges. Why? Omer lo, they would say, the judge would say to the Baal Din, tol kisein mi-bein enecha, some say mi-bein shenecha, take the little toothpick out of your teeth, out of your eye. So Amr lo, tol korah mibein einecha. So they would say, take the beam out of your eyes, meaning the shofnim were telling the ones, you're doing these small veras, a little toothpick stuck here, it's a vera kala. But you look back at the shofar, you guys are doing avera chamuras, you have these big beams in your eyes, that's the mashal, the nimshalas are doing averas chamuras. Amrlal, the shofar would say to the bali din, kasbecha haya lisigim, that your silver is mixed together with some type of copper, not a bad avera. It's all money, just some different types of metals. But they'd say back, they respond to the shofet, Amar lo, savecha mahul b'mayim, but your wine is mixed with water, which is a worse avera of diluting the wine, which is more expensive. Wine with water is a greater discrepancy than silver and copper. So again, same idea that the people were doing avera kalos, but the shofetim were doing avera chamuros. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Kola Omer, Malchus Shiva, Isha Hayisa, the one who says that Malchus Shiva is a queen, Eino Elatoa, they're mistaken, my Malchus Shiva, Malchusa de Shiva. That's what they're called, the kingdom of Shiva, but not to be misinterpreted to mean a Malch of Shiva. It wasn't a queen, it was a Malchus Shiva. Okay. Then the Gemara says, quote the pasuk that appears in this Eov as well, Vahi Hayom Vayavo Bnei Elokim, it was that day, this is the beginning of a Sefer Eov. That was that day. The men of king, the people of king, the malachim came to stand in front of Hashem, and it was the Rosh Hashanah. They say, and the satan came as well. Hashem says to the satan, these are all just psukim that appear right in the beginning of the Eof. Me'ayin tava, where do you come from? Vayana satan, the satan goes on to say. Now the rest of the pasuk tells us he went through to look around the entire world. And he says that the greatest person that he found was Avram Avinu, among all the people. So he says to him, Amar l'fanav ribono sh'olam, shatasi b'chol ha'olam kula, I flew around the entire world. V'lo matasi ne'man kavducha Avram, shemarti lo, I didn't find a greater believer than Avram, your servant. That you said to him, kum hisaleich baretz l'arkel rachba, ki l'cha nena, you said to Avram, get up from your land, and go out west, and go to a land, and walk up and down the different borders of Eretz Yisrael that I'm going to give you. Even though he had to do this, he couldn't find a place to bury his wife Sarah. Until he paid a lot of money for Mars Machpelah, he did not ever question your commandments. So he's the greatest person who I ever encountered, says the Satan. So now says HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to the Satan. But did you look at my very precious son, Eov? He's even greater than Avram Avinu. So then the Gemara goes, the pasuk goes on to explain that Satan says, really, is it really that great? Let me test him. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan gadol hanemar b'Eov yos mimashu nemar b'Avram. How do we know that Eov was greater than Avram? Dilu b'Avram, it's written, k'siv ki ata yadati, ki ara elokim ata. So I know that you're a God-fearing Jew, says Hashem about Avram. He's got an ishtam v'sar meira. He has all these extra adjectives about Eov, so Eov was greater than Avram. What does it mean, my v'sar meira, that he removed himself from any evil? Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Shmuel, Eov v'atrim b'mamona haya. He didn't care about money so much. Haya min hago sh'olm, the way the world was, v'no sen chatzi de pruta l'chenvani. So Eov v'itra mishalo. So what's this case? You'd be half a pruta. Look at Rashi in the bottom here. Rashi on 10 lines up. Minag olam nosein chati pruta lechenvani. The case is mishi yeshlam lacham muetes laasos. A guy has a little job to do. He does a little job at your house. Open the paw. I say to him, chati pruta ani nosein lacham. I'm going to give you half a pruta. Fine. Not much money. It's a half a penny at most. Benelech etel chenvani. Benikne perputa kikar. So what you do is go to the local store and buy yourself a penny worth of bread, 2 pennies worth of bread, obeitim v'nachog, we'll divide it up. So even though, so what happens is that the penny, let's speak in numbers that more makes sense, that's a dollar. So I owe the guy 50 cents. So I say to the guy, go buy yourself a dollar bread, slice of bread for a dollar, and then you give me half the slice of bread. This way you have your half a bruta, I have my half a bruta. That's what the minhag of the olam was. So what did Eov do? Eov v'atcha l'chati sheni mishalo. He says, I don't need the other half of bread. I'll let the guy keep the full bread, the full dollar. That's what he would do. Everyone else would be machbed in every single penny. He didn't really care about a half a pruta. And that's what it means that he was a sur meira. Okay, Gemara says further now, Vayana satan es Hashem. So now the satan responds to Hashem. After Hashem saying how great Eov was, satan says to Hashem, Vayomer, hachinam yarei Eov elokim. Is it really true? Is he such a God-fearing Jew? Halata sachta ba'ado v'arbeisa. You protected him. Come on. You gave him all this protection, so he was never really challenged in life. He's not such a great yid. So my yada bichah. So the pasuk goes on to explain that he did wonderful things for him. So what does it mean when the pasuk describes my yada bichata, that you blessed him with a great everything? So Amr b'shmur by Rav Yitzchak kol notel pruta me'iov misbarich. Anybody who would take money from Eov, they would be blessed as well with tremendous bracha in their home. So you really set him up for success. He didn't earn anything on his own. He was never challenged in life, says the Satan. So the Gemara says, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk in Eov again, it says, Umikneu parat barat, and his cattle breached in the land. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, Mikneu shel Eov partu gidro sha'olam. They breached the way of the world, the fences of the world. Meaning what? Minhago shel olam, the way the world is, ze'evim horgin ha'izim. The wolves would kill the goats. Mikneu shel Eov, though, the izim would horgin is ze'evim. And the flock of the Eov, the goats, would actually kill the wolves. Then the pasuk says further, pasuk in Eov says, ve'ulam shlach na yodcha. So then Akash Baruch Hu says, okay, so you could test out the Eov, I give you permission. But when you send out your hand, ve'gabacha shelo, you could touch everything of his, imlo apanecha yivarecha, but you cannot touch him himself. His property, destroy his property, his house, everything he owns, but don't touch him. So then it says, Vayomer Hashem al Satan, then Hashem says to Satan, Hine kosher lo b'yadcha, rak ilav al tishlach yadcha, everything of his you could touch, but just don't touch him. Vayhi, and it was, Hayom, that day, Uvanov of Nos of his sons, his daughters, Ochlim, and Shosun, Yaim, they're drinking, eating, and Bibayis Achayim, Habachor, Umalach ba el Eov, and an angel came, Vayomer Haboker Hayu Chorshos, and then they were busy plowing in the field. So what's it describing here? My hayu chorshos vasonas ros al yadem. The pasuk says, what does it mean that the cattle was plowing and the donkeys were grazing on their on the yadem, on their under their watch? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yochanan milamed sheitimu Hakadosh Baruch Hu Eov, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu allowed Eov to taste me'ein olam haba. How do we know that's ein olam haba? So look at Rashi in the top here of the tezayin and aleph, as it says in the pasuk. It says Hara v'yoledes yachdav, Hirayon v'leida v'yomecha. The conception and the birth happened on one day. Hachi darshina lebe masecha Shabbos. Hachi garsina. So I'm not sure how we learn this from this pasuk here. One second. Right. Exactly. The plowing and the eating took place. Now the cows plowed, and the same day the donkeys ate the grass. How is it possible the plowing and the growing could take place in the same day? So that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu was telling him. Just like a person, a woman doesn't become pregnant and give birth the same day. So that was a special Olam Haba. He tasted him. I guess the idea of tasting Olam Haba is there's no waiting. Everything happens right away.
I think that's right. She's going to give birth and she's going to get pregnant and give birth on the same day.
So that's somehow a marshal for Olam Haba. That's what he tasted. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, a lava gata. Tomorrow's daf is also a lava gata, a lava psukim to go through. And then we start the next day. The second pair.
Sardal,
yeah.